Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and a warm welcome to you all, particularly those who are visiting us today. It's a joy to have you with us. Also, we stream our services, so welcome to all those who are online. You're very welcome to join us too. Let us, as we come before the Lord, just quieten our minds, just for a moment, and just set our hearts on worshipping Him this morning, and then I'll pray. Almighty and everlasting God, in your holy name you have called us and gathered us together. Free our minds, Lord, of the thoughts of our daily lives. Help us to concentrate all our focus on you. And so we come before you today, O God, to offer you our praise and thanksgiving. We thank you for the many blessings that you shower upon us, and we ask that you continue to guide us and lead us along the path you have set before us. We ask you for your compassion and love as we share this special church service of remembrance. Help us to open our hearts and minds to hear from your word. Give us wisdom and knowledge as we face the challenges of life, and your strength and courage to overcome all obstacles. And we pray for your guidance, protection and encouragement when we go out into the world to do your will. And finally, we thank you for this time that we can be together in your presence. And we ask that you would bless us now as we remember and worship you. Amen. Well, we're going to stand and sing our first hymn, O God, our help in ages past. Please stand and sing together.
And all
Thank you, Sean. I just want to say a big thank you to those who ran and organised the men's breakfast yesterday morning. It was truly brilliant. So thanks to Rod and Nick for organising, and for Jenny, who came and spoke to us about money and the Christian attitude towards it. It was a really good time. And we have a ladies' event coming up, and Liz is going to come and just tell us a little bit more about that. Just have to turn it on. I think that's on.
Right, good morning. Is it on? I think it is. Yes, next Saturday week, so that's the 26th, there's a women's breakfast in Sherborne St John Village Hall, slightly later time of half past eight, and it will go through till 10:45. And the reason is not because we're having a long breakfast, but we're going to do a little craft session as well. And then we've got something slightly different. It's sort of a drama and a sort of interview. So do come, and do please bring any friends who perhaps don't normally come to church. And if you're here today as a visitor, you'd be very welcome. And there's a list you can sign, or you can take a little leaflet and it will tell you who to contact. Thank you.
Thank you, Liz. I'm going to do my...
Can I leave it?
Yeah, that's fine, I'll knock it off. Just going to do my air stewardess act now, as we have so many guests, in case we have to leave the building. Then we do so through the back doors at the end of the plane. Or through the door you entered, and also there is an exit through the vestry area, so the kitchen area. So if there is any problems, follow me, because I'll be first out. I promise you that. Okay, we're going to enter a time of confession. And so as we do so, would you perhaps just consider those things for which we ought to be seeking God's forgiveness over the last week? And then I'll introduce it, and then there are words for us to say together. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all wrongdoing. We have a special confession for Remembrance Sunday. You just say the words, forgive us our sin, after each part. Lord God, our Maker and our Redeemer, this is your world and we are your people. Come among us and save us. We have willfully misused your gifts of creation. Lord, be merciful. Forgive us our sin. We have seen the ill treatment of others and have not gone to their aid. Lord, be merciful. Forgive us our sin. We have condoned evil and dishonesty and failed to strive for justice. Lord, be merciful. Forgive us our sin. We have heard the good news of Christ but have failed to share it with others. Lord, be merciful. Forgive us our sin. We have not loved you with all our heart, nor our neighbours as ourselves. Lord, be merciful. Forgive us our sin. And I'm just going to continue by just reading, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we admit that we have sinned against you in thought and word and deed. And Lord, you forgive all who truly repent and sincerely believe your holy gospel. Have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and bring us to your eternal kingdom through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We'll continue in prayer. We'll say together first the prayer that the Lord taught us, the Lord's Prayer, and then the special collect, the prayer for today, for Remembrance Sunday. So we say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, power, and glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, whose blessed Son was revealed to destroy the works of the devil and to take us, the children of God and heirs of eternal life, grant that we, having this hope, may purify ourselves even as he is pure, that when he shall appear in power and great glory, we may be made like him in his eternal and glorious kingdom, where he is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We're going to sing our second hymn, Eternal Father, Strong to Save. So please stand and sing with me. Sorry, I must remember to switch it on. As we remain standing, we'll now say the words of the Apostles' Creed. These are the words of our faith. People all around the world will be saying these words today, and in a moment they're going to come up on the screen, and we shall join them in saying these words too. If we truly believe these words, let's say them with boldness to one another and to God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please take a seat, and Liz is going to bring us our first reading.
The reading is from Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 11, and can be found on page 1208 in the Bibles in the pew. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. Because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Liz. We are going to sing our third hymn. I have to say the second hymn is a real favourite of mine. I grew up in Morecambe, which is near the sea, and so we used to sing that song every other Sunday to save those in peril on the sea. It was a bit of an eye test, the last one, but I think we can see this one much clearer, so please do stand and let's sing together for all the saints who from their labours rest.
Who the
Do take a seat, and Chris will bring us our second reading. Thanks, Chris.
The second reading is taken from Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 5 up to verse 18. Because of your partnership in the gospel, from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you sharing God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice.
Thank you, Chris. Let me pray before I begin. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would be with us today, that the words I use are only the truth and come from you. Help us, Father, to have soft hearts to receive the good news of your gospel. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the bad news is that we've got to have the minute silence at the right time. So this sermon will last about an hour and 20 minutes so that we are... No, I'm only joking. Hopefully that'll put you in a better mood before we start. You know, I well remember a conversation that I had with a friend some time ago, which must have been around the time of Remembrance Sunday on that year. My friend had been asked by one of his young children, what should they think about during the 2 minute silence? It's a typically challenging question from an inquiring mind. It was clear that they wanted to do it right. They wanted to participate in the right way. But it did get us thinking, what is it that we should be thinking about during that 2 minute silence? As we discussed it, we came to the conclusion that we are all different, with different thoughts and memories, stories and experiences. And some of us have particular relatives, friends, situations to ponder on during those 2 minutes. But for many, perhaps it's not so much the what we think about, but why we have the silence. We have the silence to show respect, to remember, to reflect on those who serve and have served in our armed forces, those who've been given those who have given selfless service in the world wars and many other conflicts since, those who sacrificed their lives defending our way of life, those who got caught up in the struggle, those innocents who perished, were displaced, injured, scarred. I'm sure there are other things that I haven't singled out, but we remember them all so that we don't forget. We keep their memories alive and in our thoughts and in our silence. In this way we honour them. 2 minutes when we leave behind the thoughts of our daily business and lives and think of others to whom we owe our deep gratitude for defending and preserving our freedoms, which costs us nothing, but was bought for us at such a high cost. And as I remembered this conversation, it helped me to prepare for today. It brought into sharp focus that same gratitude that we Christians have for our freedoms and promised bright futures bought for us at no cost to ourselves, but at a price too high for any of us to afford. For clarity, let me briefly explain the Christian faith. This is a nutshell of an explanation. God created mankind to be in relationship with him. God's people in God's place under God's rule. That was the Garden of Eden. But mankind rebelled and decided we wanted to go our own way and ignore God the Creator. This is known as sin. So creation was broken and marred by our sin. The relationship ruined. God warned us of his wrath and punishment for all mankind because of this. He said that a Messiah would come. And he sent a Messiah to take that punishment we deserve by dying on a cross in our place. He then raised him from death and gave him life. And then he ascended into heaven. That Messiah is Jesus. He is alive and sits on the right hand of God in heaven and reigns supreme. And to those who acknowledge Jesus as their Saviour, who repent of their sins, he promises he will return one day and take us to be with him in glory. But meanwhile, we live in this fallen world. And it's not always easy to be a Christian, I can assure you. The world at large continues to turn its back on God and instead crave the things which this world values: the love of riches, popularity, power, possessions. To a Christian, these are of secondary importance to our love of God and of one another. We are therefore in a spiritual battle, and so there are comparisons between the military life and that of a Christian life. In fact, St. Paul describes one of his Christian friends as his fellow soldier. There's a Christian movement called the Salvation Army. We sing songs like stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. We also sing songs like fight the good fight, which I always joke was played at our wedding, but that's another story. So I'm going to explore this using three aspects of the military life as they are reflected in the Christian faith. Perhaps there's something here for us to think about during our time of silence. Of course, there are many aspects of the military life, and I'm not suggesting these are necessarily the most important, but please bear with me as these best serve the message I want to highlight this morning. The three aspects are service, obedience, and sacrifice. So first, service. At the outbreak of the Second World War in 1939, my dad was 15 years old. He was working on a large farm in Shap in Cumbria. On his 18th birthday, he went to join up to fight. And although he passed the medical, he was not accepted as he was in a reserved occupation. We needed farmers to keep the country fed during time of war. There was no appeal And so he never got the opportunity to serve, along with his friends and others from the village. He never talked about it. We learnt this from our mum. But it affected his whole life. Not for a moment did he underestimate and underappreciate the hugely important role that farmers performed during the war. No, it wasn't that. It was that he felt unfulfilled and left out. Frankly, he was devastated, and he never got over it. And I have two conflicting emotions about that. I have great sadness for him, but also great pride, because he certainly wanted to serve in a more direct way in the war effort. And I pray that if the same situation arose when I was young, I would have wanted to do the same. But you know, in both world wars, many thousands voluntarily signed up to enlist in the armed forces. They answered the call to serve. Many, probably most, would have had no idea what it was they were signing up to. They just knew they had a duty to do their bit. In effect, they were handing their lives over to the generals, the admirals, the air chief marshals and powers that be, were willing to be trained and sent wherever they were needed and did whatever they were ordered to do. As we watch the situation in Ukraine, we see a nation at war. But even then, it's nigh impossible for us to imagine what it was like in this country at the outbreak of the two world wars in 1914 and 1939. But what we do know is how the people of this country rose up to defend our freedoms from evil powers which threatened our very existence and our way of life. A whole army rose up to serve and to defend the right to live in freedom. To serve is to be a servant, to do the bidding of your master, to put others above yourself. To volunteer to do this is remarkable. As people of faith, our Lord and Master is Jesus Christ. We are known as Christ ones or Christians, followers of Christ. He is our example and the pattern for our lives. Now I make it that there are 41 sleeps till Christmas. That's how we measure things these days, isn't it? The Christmas story introduces us to Jesus, the servant king. The people of God were expecting the Messiah, the promised one, to be like a mighty warrior, an avenging warlord, a mighty leader who would conquer all their enemies and restore their free land. But look at the Christmas story. Jesus was born in an outbuilding used for keeping animals. His first cot was an animal feeding trough, a manger. When the angels appeared to reveal this news to the whole world, did they go to the king or to the Roman governor or to the chief priests? No, they went to shepherds who at that time would have been like outcasts. Everything about his beginnings were humble. He came to serve. He came to serve his Father in heaven and to do his bidding. His life was one of service to God the Father. He had no ambition to earn money, to have a permanent home to live in, to have belongings and trappings of luxurious life. Instead, he spent all his time travelling, teaching, performing miracles, and bringing the good news of salvation to as many people as possible. Even towards the end, at his last supper with his friends, he washed their feet. Only servants washed the feet of the guests. He truly is the servant king. How should this affect how we as Christians live? Well, we read from Philippians, in our relationships with one another, this is Paul speaking, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Paul's saying we need to be each other's servant. Jesus introduced an 11th commandment, to love your neighbour as yourself. This, together with the commandment to love God with all our hearts, are the two greatest commandments. It's the pattern God wants us to follow in our lives. As we love one another in the love of Christ, we grow in our faith and demonstrate to others the difference our faith brings. The battle line here is that the world generally is brought up to serve only themselves and their nearest and dearest. We are born with selfish natures, and to change is difficult. Christians have to always be on our guard to abandon selfish desires and instead to do to others as we would have done to us. It's a battle. It's a battle to be a good and faithful servant of God. The next aspect is obedience. Now, I loved most of my school days. I loved how teachers sometimes said things that made us laugh. Like, I always remember somebody saying to me, "How?" That's my surname. They always called you by surname. "How? If you fall off that wall and break your legs, don't come running to me." And I remember with fondness. Do you remember your first homework at school? Covering your books. Do you remember doing that? With wallpaper. You got to see what everybody's house was decorated like, didn't you? And when I think of obedience, my mind turns to school days. It's there that I first encountered rules, school rules about talking in class and chewing in class, running in corridors, stairs to go up and stairs to only go down, standing up when the head teacher came in. It's where I first encountered walking in single file, sitting cross-legged on the floor to attention, putting my hand up to speak or ask a question. We all just accepted it. These were rules. And even then we understood that without rules and obeying them, chaos would reign. We also meet obedience at home, don't we? In our families, our parents or guardians, children, they teach us, don't they, to obey them because they know what's best for us. They love us. And we love them. So they teach us about dangerous situations to avoid at an early age. How to cross the road. Not to eat things off the floor. Not to eat too many sweets between meals. I always thought that was just, do we eat them with meals? Perhaps not at all. In the military, obedience is everything. I read that it's the main point of the initial training to instill obedience to every order and rule. And this, of course, extends to the battlefield, where training in that obedience is vital to ensure a united fighting force and coordinated effort. Obedience is a discipline which is also at the heart of the Christian faith. Jesus was obedient to God, and so should we be. But unlike school or the military, our obedience is not so much following a set of rules, but more like obedience within a family. Christians are told that if we trust and follow Jesus, they have the right to call themselves children of God. And as his family, we want to live in accordance with his wishes. So we're obedient to him because we love him. But once again, this is a battle. Sometimes things don't seem to be going our way. When we fall out with friends. When we have a bit of bad luck. When we have something stolen. When we lose a loved one. When we fall ill. We sometimes doubt that God loves us. These are the moments of battle. We need to remember that Jesus, our great example, was faithful and obedient to God. And Paul goes on to say in that passage that he, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself to become obedient to death, even death on a cross. And this brings me to my final aspect of the military life, and that is sacrifice. Well, what is sacrifice? Like my good friend Andy, who when he has a, he also preaches here, when he has a difficult word, he goes to the dictionary, so did I. And the dictionary says, sacrifice is a surrender of something of value as a means of gaining something more desirable or of preventing some evil. And today, we remember those who made the ultimate sacrifice and laid down their lives for our sakes to defend us from evil powers. We mourn them, we honour them, and importantly, we remember them. Today we also remember and honour all those brave men and women who have and do serve, and who were and are willing to do the same for our sakes. They paid the price for our freedoms with their very lives. There is no greater sacrifice than to offer to give one's life for the sake of others, for a greater cause. In our first reading from the book of Hebrews, we heard how in Old Testament times the people made many sacrifices. It said, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. You see, there's a problem. There is the thorny problem of sin getting in the way of us having an eternal relationship with God. Sin has to be dealt with. Sin has to be forgiven. Jesus came to deal with our sin by sacrificing his life to pay for our sin, to wash us clean so that through him we can be forgiven. Then the way for us to be right with God is open and we can go in. Jesus has won the battle for us. We just have to enlist into his kingdom. And here's the greatest news of all. Unlike my dad, who wasn't allowed to enter, we are guaranteed forgiveness and enter into his kingdom if we truly repent of our sins and put our trust in him. It doesn't matter what job we do, what wrongs we have done in the past, what we look like, or anything else. He promises us entry into his kingdom, and then promises that we will receive the Holy Spirit into our lives to help us to stand strong for him, to help us in our battles to serve and be obedient to him. Now, the acronym of the first letters of Service Obedient Sacrifice is SOS. It's the International Distress Signal for when a ship is in difficulty, and it's used in other contexts as well. When those of us who came to faith first understood just how much we needed Jesus in our lives, it's as if we sent an SOS to God. Save our souls. And Jesus responded by opening our hearts to receive him as our Saviour, the one who rescued us to give us a share in his eternal kingdom. And as we've seen, that invitation is for everyone. And if there's anything that I've said that you want to chat about or think about with me, then please see me after the service. I'd love to talk to you. So we thank all our armed service personnel, past and present, for their service, obedience and sacrifice. As we join millions in observing the 2 minute silence at 11 o'clock this morning, we remember and honour them. But let us remember too the gratitude we have for our Lord Jesus and the sacrifice he made to set us free from our sin and give us life, life eternal. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for your dear Son, Jesus. We thank you for his sacrifice on the cross. We thank you and praise you for all those men and women who sacrificed their lives for us. And we pray that we honour them and we remember them. We pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. We come now to our act of remembrance. Let's move that slightly, bring the wreaths up, thank you. And we begin, if the wreath bearers could take their positions, please. They will proceed down the centre of the aisle and lay their wreaths at the altar rail. Oh, sorry, yes, we are. I do apologise. I've jumped the gun. We have one extra thing, and that is prayers. Guys, please stay where you are. That's fine. Sorry, Chris, would you please come and pray for us? Thank you.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, almighty and eternal God, from whose love in Christ we cannot be parted, either by death or life, hear our prayers and thanksgivings for all whom we remember this day. Fulfill in them the purpose of your love, and bring us all with them to your eternal joy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. On this Remembrance Sunday, let us bring before God our prayers for the world, the church, and all his people. Merciful God, we pray for peace in our hearts and homes, in our nations and the world, the peace which is your will, the peace which we all so badly need. We remember today, Lord, all those from the Royal Navy, the Army, the Royal Air Force and other uniformed services who have died in any kind of war throughout your world. Today we remember those victims of the two world wars and more recent conflicts around the world, including those close to us or to our parents and grandparents. We remember those who came home with terrible injuries, both physical and psychological, and particularly those loved ones never returned. Remembering the conflicts of the past and the sacrifices which were made, let us pray for a world where war is still a grim reality. Lord, as we remember those who have lost their lives, help us to renew our fight against cruelty and injustice, against prejudice, tyranny and oppression. Let not the hope of men and women perish. Let not new clouds rain death upon the earth. Lord, hear our prayer for the multitudes in every country who do not want war and are ready to walk the path of peace. May their voice be heard and may they not lose heart. Remember too those who acted with kindly compassion, those who bravely risked their own lives for their comrades, those who in the aftermath of war worked tirelessly for a more peaceful world. And as you remember them, remember us, Lord. Grant us peace in our time and a longing for the day when people of every language, race and nation will be brought into the unity of Christ's kingdom. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, we pray for all who face difficulties in their personal lives, problems in their families, in friendships, in their neighbourhoods or their workplace. Help them to be calm in times of uncertainty and patient with those around them. Show us when we can help and give support to others around us. On this day of remembrance, our hearts and prayers go out to all who mourn the loss of those we and they have loved. When we lose someone close, we feel that part of us dies as well, but part of them lives on in us. Give us strength and understanding to honour and cherish that gift. Help all those who are bereaved to find the same consolation that in knowledge of your love they may honour the past by looking to the future. Lord, we pray for the leaders of nations at this time, asking you to pour out your spirit of reconciliation on them. Give them a longing to bring freedom from fear and freedom from want for all peoples. Give strength and courage to those who bear heavy responsibilities for the peace of the world. Amen. We pray also for the Christian Church, called to witness to your love in this generation. May Christians work with all men and women to break down the barriers which divide people. May those who profess one faith respect those who sincerely hold another faith and build a community where there is harmony and understanding. In particular, let us remember and pray for our mission partners, and today we pray for the Anderson family in Bolivia that preach to the Quechua people. Johnny recently made a 3-day trip to a remote mountain community that has been isolated since the only road there was damaged. We give praise that the trip went well, that Johnny and his co-worker Florentino were able to be effective in their teaching and bring the word of the Lord to these isolated people and places. We pray for unity for a church that Johnny and Olga work with in Tomina, 3 hours away from where they live. It's having issues with unity around church funding. Historically, one shopkeeper has funded the church, but now the congregation is being asked to give charitably, as they are in a position to do so. And this has the potential to damage church unity, and we pray, Lord, that you will keep this important community together. Alongside this, let us also give praise to Olga's work in raising the importance of teaching children the gospel in Bolivia continues to bear fruit. Let us rejoice that another church also has pledged financial support to Johnny and Olga, which together with existing pledges and individual donations means they have now raised all the funds needed for the coming year's work. The Lord is good, and the Lord has provided. Finally, let's give praise that their three children had a good half-term break with Johnny's sister in Cornwall, and that they can all look forward to being together with their parents for Christmas. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Let us pray now for our church at this time. We ask you for unity, for opportunities to listen, engage and evangelise. Provide strength and courage for our PCC and church leaders to sustain them through this time, serving the community, enabling your intent for our parish, Lord, to be the final outcome. Help us to keep steadfast in our faith and help believers and non-believers to meet you head on, Lord, wherever they may be. And finally, a prayer for ourselves, that we may all put our confidence in you, Lord. As you know, we are often filled with fear and foreboding. Give us courage. Deepen our trust. You are a rock which nothing can shatter, and on you we can place the whole weight of our hearts. Lord, in your name, amen.
Thank you very much, Chris. We now come to our act of remembrance, and would you please stand, and we first have the procession of wreaths. Please do take a seat. We now remember all those who perished in the wars from this parish. And first from the Great War, 1914-1919. Captain Humphrey H. Sloane Stanley. John Batten. Harry Best. Edward C. Brooker. Frederick Cooper. Cecil Hoddinott, Albert Hutchins, Arthur Ilsley, Jesse Ilsley, Isaac Ireland, William Knight, John E. Miles, Walter Miles, Frederick H. Norgate, Charles Portsmouth, Alfred J. Thatcher, Alfred Tongs, Frank Tongs, George G. Turner, and from the Second World War, Dennis C. Batten, John J. Elder, John C. Oates, Frederick C. Smith, Reginald P. Bauer, Alan Munger, Trevor M. Roberts. William C. Williams. Dear God, give them eternal rest. Amen. In a moment we will have the last post. This will herald the 2 minute silence, and it will continue until the reveille. First, the exhortation. This is at the back of the news sheet. They shall not grow old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. And the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them. Please stand.
When you go home, tell them of us and say, for your tomorrow, we gave our today.
We now sing the national anthem. No other tune, so should we not proceed? God save our gracious King, long live our noble King. God save the King. Send him victorious, happy and glorious, long to sing our final hymn. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah.